Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hello.
Hey man, how's it going?
I'm very well, thank you.
How's your week been?
It's been good, actually. Quieter week than last week, mm-hmm. as we were doing a lot of the content to get ahead. I've mostly been at home this week, playing a lot of Destiny 2.
Nice.
Yes.
Is that a video game?
It is a video game that I've got back into after about a year's hiatus because they've changed all the things. So me and my housemate playing. It's very fun.
Very good. Yeah, we've been doing more of the Ramble stuff this week, trying to get ahead on that. You and I did our NXT in review. Annoyingly, we did our NXT in review episode, recorded all of it, and then on bloody Raw, like on that in that NXT, you'll hear the NXT episode next week. We spent a good 5 minutes talking about Nikki Cross going up to the main roster and being like, she has to get called up. There's nothing for her else to do in NXT. Good solid 5 minutes of the show. Yeah. Then on Raw that night, they announced
literally that she is 4 hours later
going up to the main roster. I was like, well, nice one. That's dated now. We talked about Heavy Machinery.
That just proves that we were right about a lot of these things. It's fine.
So that was a bit annoying. So like the video now starts with, this episode was recorded. I mean, you and I say it enough in the episode, but it is YouTube, so you can't trust them too much. So we're also saying it here on the podcast as well, that we pre-recorded it, hence why it might sound a bit silly. Exactly, you've got to. So that's going to be out next week. Ollie and I have been, we did two episodes yesterday. We've done our 2019 predictions episode and our 2018 in review episode. No, our 2018 best and worst moments. And we've still got to do our Raw and SmackDown in review episodes. But tonight is our Christmas party. It's our office Christmas party.
Grimbo Pats.
And we're also recording our Christmas special today, which you're going to hear next week. Is it Christmas next week, isn't it?
Yes,
Christmas
Tuesday.
In 5 days. Yes, so you're going to hear it on Tuesday. If you are listening to the podcast on Christmas Day, you'll hear our Christmas
Make
special.
All your family listen.
Exactly.
As well. Your granddad, your gran. Tell them it's about wrestling.
Exactly.
Well,
it won't be,
we
about,
won't
wrestling.
Be about wrestling.
We'll not be about wrestling, that. Absolutely. We'll get yourself around the wireless and all sit down as we drink a lot and ramble about nonsense for
about an hour. Remember things about pictures from your youth. Here they are. There's some more.
So we're going to be opening up some Christmas presents that have been sent to us. We just got general nonsense that's going to be happening. And then my wife is coming down to the studio. Your lady partner is coming down to the studio. And we're going to go for some drinks.
Beverage.
Go for some beverages. I'm very much looking forward to it. Though, like we were told just before we came on air, that we're both quite tired.
Mm.
I'm really tired. I was very ill the other night.
Mm.
I was up just vomiting
out
the wazoo. Because I'd eaten something dodgy at Pizza Express.
You shouldn't have a wazoo, man. You should get that looked at.
And I was just vomiting all night. And I felt, the second I finished vomiting, felt terrific. Felt really, really great.
It's because you've just had the purge.
I felt terrific. But it did mean that I was awake for a lot. And I'm now just like, I couldn't get up this morning to watch NXT. My alarm went off at 6 a.m. And I was like, no. This isn't happening.
That's a hard no from me.
Yep. So
thank you very much, alarm, for your diligent work.
But no.
It's a hard no.
So instead, I slept in for a good 40 minutes this morning.
Oh,
I know,
delightful.
Right? What a quite nice little lie-in. Let's have some quick correspondence from your good selves before we get into the show itself. This one comes in from Noel, who writes in, at least I'm going to say it's Noel. He's written in red, government employee and wrestling chump. But that's not what his email name is. So anyway, let's see here we go. Hope you read this out in the email. Hello, Ollie, Luke, and so trustworthy El Fakador. Your podcast became part of my daily ritual, whether on commute before work or even during work while taking a poo. To be honest, Ollie's over-the-top news delivery killed my eardrums when I first watched YouTube videos, but like all things, you get used to it and you'll learn to love them along the way. I found myself looking for impact font video titles in YouTube thumbnails every day, as it was important as breathing, and after getting my mobile data subscription sucked out of my love for WrestleTalk videos, chanced upon the podcast since the earphones became a fixture of my daily affairs. Sorry if this is getting too long, but I got back into wrestling after watching your videos, but the more fascinating part of it is the way you wanted to see structure, coherence, and logic in matches and storylines as if it was one big epic movie. Something that made me realize I'm such a mark falling only for shallow entertainment when I was a wrestler when I was into wrestling 10 years back. Summing up, thank you for renewing my love for wrestling and seeing it in a more mature, non-markish way and helping fans like us set a high bar in the quality of wrestling we watch, which is frankly what truly deserves our time. All the best for the podcast. Plans to be a pledgehammer soon. Probably send a care package. Just don't know what your address is. And from the Philippines, I support WrestleTalk. Much love and cheers for the holidays. Noel, or Noel, perhaps. Thank you very much for your email.
Is he not just wishing us a bon holiday?
It could be. Thank you very much for your email. Thank you. We could get you back into the world of professional wrestling. I saw a bit of a discussion between wrestlers and wrestling fans about using the word mark and maybe we should just remove it from wrestling lexicon. Because really, the term mark comes from the fact that we're meant to be idiots.
Yes.
And we are they are con men and we are their marks.
Yes.
And they're fooling us. And really, we shouldn't be treating the audience... Or the question is, should we be treating the audience as idiots that we're trying to fool?
No. Well, I guess now that the back in the day, it seemed like a useful word to use. Because it's not... I wouldn't say that mark is particularly offensive when the world of wrestling is so shaded or like disguised to the fact, like, is it real, is it not? Mm-hmm. You are conning people at that point. But not in like a horrible con way, in like a fun hustle kind of, you know, hustle the TV series kind of con way. They're lovable rogues, whatever. Like, that's what it's kind of like back then. But I guess now that everyone is pretty savvy and well aware that it's not entirely as real as it makes out, yeah, I guess we could remove it from the lexicon because it doesn't particularly matter, does it?
It's just one of those words that sort of stuck around, really. It'll probably never go away.
Yeah, but I don't...
like,
you know,
bump.
I guess, yeah, but like mark is fine because people call themselves marks.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, it's one of those things like if you're proud to wear the word like and be called that, then go for it. But yeah, I don't. As long as you're not saying it in a negative connotation, I think it's fair enough.
We've taken it back. Yeah. We've taken the word back. Let's jump into the show. As you'd expect, we've got some board game chat in the outro portion of this podcast, so stick around for that. But before then, you've got to get through the NXT review, I suppose.
God.
Talking about a really good wrestling angle between
rubbish.
Ciampa and Gargano doing brilliant work as per usual.
But dice after.
Here is the NXT show. Where? I mean, let's talk about that. Frankly, brilliant main event angle. I mean, the brilliant main event, but the angle afterwards. Holy heckins.
Unbelievable. Fairly believable. I feel like this was kind of where you would have been going with this all along. But it's so nice to see it play out after however long we've been building up to this idea of like them breaking up, them falling out, them slowly working each other over, sending each other crazy, obsessing over each other. And now, just that moment.
Yeah. Oh, the hands come together. Yeah. So if you haven't seen the show, essentially it was set up last week. It was going to be a cage match between Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black. Mm-hmm. Well, it was set up a couple of weeks ago. It was announced the following week. So they're now going to have this cage match. Was it last week? Or was it a couple of weeks ago?
It was last week. Was it? Maybe it was 2 weeks ago.
I can't remember. I could barely remember.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I thought it was. Anyway, cage match was set up between Gargano and Aleister Black. Aleister Black is already facing Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship at Phoenix. That's already been announced. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't like a number one contendership match or anything like that.
This was just a blow-off match.
A blow-off match, exactly, because Aleister Black had said that he had absolved Johnny Gargano of his sins. But Gargano said, I didn't have any sins, mate.
Yeah, so I was clean.
You didn't absolve me of nout.
I'd been to a confession before I went into the ring.
So bloody exactly. So these two had this match, and it was a really, really great back and forth match. Black had it won at one point. He could have left, but he decided to go back in to make sure he has absolved Black of his sins this time round. At least that's, you know, the sort of story they were telling. And then it gets to a spot where they both do a double down. And Gargano is climbing up on one side of the ring, mm-hmm. and Aleister Black is trying to climb out the door on the other side of the ring.
Johnny has made the wrong choice there.
Yeah, it's easier to go out the door,
yeah,
really.
Do the door. Always yeah, go, for,
always
the
go
door.
For the door. But like Black's crawling in this other, and he gets himself sort of out, and then Tommaso Ciampa runs down from the back and smashes the door against Aleister Black's head and sends him back inside. Johnny Gargano at this point has already more or less climbed out. Like, all he has to do is drop down and he's won.
He's halfway down the other side.
He's halfway yeah. down the other side. But he sees this and he climbs back inside the ring and gets down into the corner. And as Ciampa gets into the corner, they just happen to be in the positions they would be for their old DIY finish of the running knees and legs.
Meet
and
in the middle.
The meet in the middle. And, yeah, they sort of look at each other. The crowd, I mean, as soon as Ciampa steps through the ropes, the crowd are chanting DIY. Like, it was really, really great.
DIY.
It was really, really cool. And they do the hand pose. Like, as Ciampa's, like, guiding him into doing it, being like, Come on now. We're going to
do it. You know how this goes.
Gargano's acting in this segment. Oh, and this angle was so, so good. Mm-hmm. Really sold like the internal struggle of what was going on, whether he wants to be doing this. Is this the right thing to be doing? And they do the kick. And as soon as they do the meet in the middle, Gargano is instantly selling it. It was like, what the hell just happened? What did I just take part yeah. in? But Ciampa is having a whale of a time. He's bloody loving it.
Stood on the outside, waving back in.
That's it, yeah. And he goes outside and he watches as Gargano pins Aleister Black.
Who's been down for who's a good life.
Oh, mate.
30 seconds.
Way to put over that finish. Yeah. Like, that's a big old strong finish. And, yeah, and Ciampa's like walking backwards up the ramp, slowly clapping. His boys, Johnny's done it. And I can't put over how good Gargano was in this segment. Like, I can't put it over enough. Yeah. It was so, so good.
I just love everything about this. I just think it's so good. This is exactly what I wanted to see from this story. I wanted to see, like, if we're going to tell Johnny Falls to the Dark Side, let's do it. Like,
yeah.
You know, because that makes the eventual, if there is a redemption angle, even more positive, because it feels like Johnny is brainwashed here. It very much feels like there are moments where he keeps coming out of himself and being like, what am I doing? Why am I doing any of this? And then as soon as he sees Ciampa, he's like, yeah, no, you know what? I'm going to be vicious. I'm going to be ruthless. I'm going to do whatever it takes to, one, get a shot at him, but two, kind of just be guided by him to do whatever he's saying now.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because that's Johnny's whole deal at the moment, is he wants to rid NXT of Tommaso Ciampa, but at the same time, he's sort of now working alongside him and being, as you said, sort of like goaded into certain things by him, into this sort of darker side. Mm. And like Ciampa, Black was playing up the other week during this promo segment to set this up, that Ciampa was the puppet master.
Yes.
And he was the one that was sort of controlling all of these things. And it's just being told so well that he is the puppet master and Gargano is Pinocchio. But he's, you know, before he becomes a real boy.
That makes Ciampa Geppetto.
Yeah, Geppetto, exactly.
He's the puppet.
He's the
old one. No one ever called Geppetto the puppet master.
Did they not?
No, I don't think so.
I think I read a different one. Maybe I'm thinking of the puppet master series of films.
He just made a puppet. He wasn't the puppet master, was he?
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, where Joe Petto had created a puppet.
Geppetto was just a carpenter.
Yeah, he made an action figure come to life in Sunday Night 5.
Was that a thing he did? I don't know.
Anyway, so
Pinocchio goes mental at the end. There's no point paying attention.
This was a great match, though. A really, really terrific cage match. And I was while I was watching it, I was trying to think. I was trying to think of a cage match that I've enjoyed as much as this in recent memory. And we've seen like some really fun cage matches. I think like the Braun Strowman Big Show cage match on Raw last year, which was just like two big dudes doing big dude things. And that was all fun and stuff. And I'm not really counting War Games or Hell in a Cell matches in any of this. Just like pure steel cage matches. And I couldn't really think of anyone that might have been like, oh man, yeah, that was probably a better Hell in a Cell, or like almost as good as this Hell in a Cell match. But this was just, it was just terrific.
It's one of those things with like steel cages, I guess, is the problem is when you've also got Hell in a Cell in the same company and now War Games. Mm-hmm. Steel Cage looks a bit meek, really.
Yeah, it's a bit lame. Yeah, it's a bit lame.
It's a bit like, no. And also, I think because all the different rules now is like, you can climb out, you're allowed to go out the door, someone will literally open it for you, and you can pin the man, submit them. It's like, Let's go back to just you can climb out.
That was a good rule. It was funny enough, because the way it used to be was like you just had to pin them, because the whole point of cage is that you won't be able to, we weren't supposed to escape.
And
like
there was no escape. Exactly, yeah.
But now it was like, oh, and then we added the rule in that you can escape. Mm. And now we can add the rule in that you can also walk out the door. The walk out the door thing I've always thought was lame.
Well, it's just on a lot. Yeah, and then, I mean, it works here, but it only really works as a stipulation if you're going to have interference.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's just two people in a cage. It's not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's not like the no escape thing anymore. They never build up to that. So.
Yeah. But there was some really, really great stuff in this. The one point I really wanted to go through is when, so like they're on the apron, or on the apron, they're on the ropes, like against the cage, and Gargano dives off and he gets this amazing powerbomb off of this. Mm. But they do the spot again later on where Black's up there and he tries to do the quebrada, but Gargano sort of like jumps like with him. Where have I got here? So, Black tries the quebrada, but Gargano jumps up with him and hits the side Russian leg sweep. That's right. So he went up to do the quebrada.
Yes, yeah.
Then Gargano jumped up onto the ropes with him, side Russian leg sweep off of it, and then rolled that through into the Gargano escape.
So
cool. And then Black powers up out of that and throws him into the cage, but Gargano's hold on to the hold. So as soon as he bounces off, he's just back into the Gargano escape again. Look, that was so good. And I think the crowd were... The crowd weren't great all night. I think this was very much at the end of a taping schedule.
Yeah.
Because the crowd were quiet for quite a lot of this show.
Yeah.
Until this happened. Yeah. And I think it was that they were reacting to these people like they were stars.
Mm.
And they they reacted to this like it was the most important angle in NXT. And really, it is. You and I have done our NXT Year in Review episode that will be going up next Thursday, I believe it goes up next Thursday. And in that, we sort of talk about how NXT this year has been the story of Gargano and Ciampa. Like, it's been their year.
It's the defining story of the whole thing.
Absolutely,
yeah.
The defining story. It started in January. Here we are at December. It's still going on. Mm. But yet has never felt overexposed.
No.
Not like, you know, when AJ and Nakamura had like 12 matches in the space of 4 months. And it was just, after a while, you're like, God, I'm ready for this feud to be over.
Yeah.
Or AJ Joe, and you're like, God, I'm ready for this feud to be done with, to be honest with you. They've done this for 12 months. And even if you consider they've done this for 12 months, in theory, they also did it for the year previous to that because they were still doing Ciampa stuff even when he was injured. Mm. And you go back and it was at the Cruiserweight Classic in 2016 when they were DIY. And they sort of see, like, you know, two and a bit years we've been telling the story. And like at the moment, we're like, God, it's at its most interesting at the moment.
Well, it's crazy because it's also, it's been the main event without being really rightfully the main event, you know? It's only recently been about the title.
Yeah.
Or anything to do with it. And even then, it's not really about the title. Like, Johnny doesn't want Black because of Ciampa because of him being the champion. He just wants him. He's just like, I just want to beat you up.
He just wants to get rid of him.
And it makes no difference, I think, whether he wins the title or not.
And for Ciampa, in that character sense, it's brilliant because for him, defending that title, or not defending that title, keeping that title is the most important thing to him. So the more he can distract Johnny away from, like, oh, you want to take the title away from me, or like trying to destroy Aleister Black so that Black doesn't stand a chance in taking Goldie away from him. It's just, it's masterful storytelling. Mm. It's masterful storytelling. It's brilliantly acted. It's excellently performed. I love this feud.
I'm so interested to see, one, where it goes at Phoenix, and what Johnny's involvement will probably now be in that match.
Because
you've got to imagine that's coming up. But then also this whole, like, how is this Puppet Master thing going to play out? You know, like, I'm interested to see, because it's obviously something that could go very wrong if you've not thought about the finish of this. Like, if you've not gone, oh, we know where it's going at the end.
Yeah.
And we're dropping seeds. But I'm fairly confident that they do know, because this whole story, everything that's happened so far has been perfectly plotted. So if they've gone in with Puppet Master and they don't know the difference between their Joe Pettos and their Geppettos,
then... Could be in trouble. Could be in trouble, lads. But yeah, I just think this was great. A really, really great ending to the show. There was like, I mean, it was a fine episode of NXT, I'd say. I thought it was all right. Like, but this match and closing angle really pushed it over into being like, God, you've got to go out your way to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And even like when we came into the office, Ollie Davis quite famously doesn't watch NXT because, quote, he hasn't got enough time in the week to watch it. But this is all he wanted to ask us about. It's like, what was the cage match like? What was that post-match angle like? We were kind of talking through it. He's like, that sounds so good. Yeah. It sounds so awesome. And I'm like, yeah, man, watch it.
Yeah, why is there not these angles everywhere else in the company?
Well, me and Ollie were doing our 2019 prediction video, or it might have been our 2018 best and worst moments video that's going to be going up like in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. And in that, we said, like, when Ciampa and Gargano just go up to the main roster, really, they should just give everyone the script that they did for this feud and just be like, just do this again.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. No one really watches NXT, so we can just do this again on the main roster.
And people are happy with that.
And we'll do it again from scratch, and we'll just pretend like it didn't happen over here, and everything will be fine. Just don't deviate from this script.
Yeah, that's all people were saying about the Sasha and Bayley thing. They were just like, you know, people just sitting there going like, that was brilliant in NXT. Why don't you do that? Why do you keep teasing it like anyone cares? Like, because, you know, the NXT audience is such a smaller portion of the overall WWE audience. Just teasing a Sasha Banks Bayley feud is a bit like, what is the point of teasing this? Most people just sitting there going, oh, they seem like nice friends.
Yeah, or we're getting women's tag team titles.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either leads to one of those things. They're either best friends or it's tag titles. Doesn't really feel like this going into a feud, despite what the start of 2018 told us. Good crikey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's time to give a shout out to our $25 and above pledge hammers who have donated to our Patreon page over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Thank you so, so much. You do help keep the lights on in this room, and I hope you've enjoyed all of your extra bonus content, like mine and Ollie's review of ECW December to Dismember 2006, a god-awful show.
They loved it.
Oh, it was bad. It was...
The atmosphere in the office when they were watching was delightful.
Very, very bad.
Please vote for more things like that.
Yeah, let's not. I'd like to do... Well, if we think in January, it'll either be a Rumble or it'll be a Wrestle Kingdom. Like, right. I think that's probably where we're heading in January. Nah. Don't vote for any more 2006 stuff, please.
You're going to watch all of the Marine films.
I'd much rather watch any of those Marine films rather than like December to Dismember or any 2006 pay-per-view, because good Lord, it was bad. But anyway, so these are our $25 and above pledge hammers. So a big shout-out to John Secret Santos. Oh, Johnny boy.
Well done, John. Big Apple takedown, Lindsay Monroe.
Oh, Big Apple takedown. There's the book. We read it on Ramble Club. Butter me up, Soren Norder. See, Soren, like, a bit like Soreen. That's where I was going with that one, yeah.
Harry and the Hendersons, Burgess.
Burgess, yes.
Burgess.
Robin Banks, Lee Roberts. Robin Roberts, sort of sound the same.
One, Ryan B. Bad.
Oh, Ryan B. Bad. He's a bad boy. That is a tasty Tim Heidenberger.
Yeah,
Pulp Fiction.
Very overworked punnage. probably better than Kyle Philip O'Reilly.
It's tough, because Kyle O'Reilly's very good.
He is very good.
Tough one.
He gives good face.
He does. The Blueprint, Owen Morgan. That was one that he requested himself as a tribute to Matt Morgan.
Is that the Mexinadian, Anthony Ibanez?
Yeah, well, good pronunciation, because I was struggling with that one. Really was struggling.
It's probably wrong.
Noah Edward Nigma. Enigma, welcome back to the $25 level, my
Edward
friend. Welcome
Enigma.
Back.
I think he's talking to you, Damien Thompson.
It's a Simpsons joke. I think he's talking to you. Matthew Thibault, this city on rock and roll. Yes, or it could be Thibault, I don't know, but it's Thibault, that's this city.
Another part of me, MJ, I think we could have made this bigger. Afamasaga. I think.
Another part of me, MJ. Yay. Here we go. It's a Michael Jackson reference. Alan, now shut up, Clark. Oh, it's a small soldier's joke.
The nobleman, Matt Noble.
Nobleman Matt Noble, who met Ollie Davis the other day.
Ooh.
He sent in a Rusev hey for our for the podcast and was like, yeah, I met Ollie Davis.
Wow.
He's taller than I expected. Which apparently a lot of people say. Let off some steam, Dom Bennett. Yes. Commando.
And I ran Tabori.
Yeah, and because his name's Ran Tabori, so I was going with, and I ran Tabori.
Yeah, you have to, this is why you have to read your terrible puns.
This is basically what I do. Like, every month I just sit there and be like, what laboured pun yeah. or reference
well, you need
can
to
I make?
Put them in, you need to put the references in brackets when we're reading them.
Oh, yeah, that probably would help, wouldn't
do
it?
Do the last one!
Astounding Abdullah Alenzi! Yes!
Yeah.
He is astounding. You're all astounding. Thank you very much. Happy holidays. We'll see you in the new year. Or we'll speak to you right now, because we're going to review the rest of NXT, which opened with a great video package about that cage match between Black and Gargano. And then we got our opening contest of Ayo Shirai. And Dakota Kai taking on the in-ring debut of Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir.
Mm.
Interestingly, not without Baszler, but they did come out to Baszler's music.
They did come out to Baszler's music. And also, for a very brief period, it said Queen of Spades. on the screen, it was like, Queen of Spades, Duke of Shafir.
Yes.
Quickly change it.
Do the fader.
Yes. Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir, their in-ring debut. I was really excited to see this.
Mm.
And I like that they're a tag team already. They've got matching gear.
Yep.
They wrestle like the same way, basically.
Let's play, let's fight, is it?
Yeah, I think it's something like that. Yeah, and they've got sort of like camo stuff.
Mm.
They look really cool as a pairing. I really like Jessamyn Duke particularly. I think she's got a really good look about her. I think she's very cool. She's very intense, very shouty. As a wrestler, is Jessamyn Duke, is what I discovered.
She really screamed on that neck crank. She was
She was so loud, I had to. I was watching this in my office, and I had to turn it down because my wife was trying to do yoga in the next room, trying to be all peaceful and serene. You got Jessamyn Duke in the other room going,
"Rah! I'm bending your head slightly.
That's done it, Dakota. Wee." So, yeah, she's a very shouty wrestler. but. Marina Shafir is definitely the Kyle O'Reilly of this group. The way she like moves around the ring, the way she's very much like she's quite goofy in a way.
Yeah.
But she almost feels like this beautiful mixture of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, her real life husband.
Mm.
It's a really good act. I'm quite into Duke and Shafir as a team.
I think she's charismatic, isn't she?
Yeah.
She really pulls off that sort of, and it's been things like that with the sort of Baszler winning as well. Like she's the one like slides in for like a hug or something with Baszler. It's just quite funny.
Yeah, when I think it was when Baszler won, and because of all their interference, and she was like, "It was all you,
all you, man."
So yeah, this was crowd was so quiet for this, which I was surprised about because I thought they might be quite loud because it is the in ring debut of Shafir and Duke, but also it's Ayo Shirai.
Her first NXT match.
Yeah, like so I thought this would be like, you know, quite, the crowd should be really into this. And people really like Dakota Kai as well. So I thought that, I thought people would be hot for Io Shirai at the very least.
Mm.
So it was, I'm guessing it was late in the taping day.
Yes.
So crowd a bit burnt out, a bit tired. So I guess that makes sense really. But yeah, I mean really like my notes are that they worked over to Kai for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it really was just Duke and Shafir working over Kai. And then she gets the scorpion kick, tags in Io, who hits this amazing hot tag and runs wild. And it's just
619 slingshot drop kick.
Yeah.
And then straight into setting up for the Asai moonsault.
Absolutely.
Oh, running double knees and then the moonsault.
Yeah, and her running double knees better than Andrade Cien Elmas's. I thought Shirai looked...
I think it's because they look less safe. It's why... His are pretty like, here are my knees, either side of your head.
Yeah.
Don't move. Hers are like, here are my knees on your chest.
Yeah, here are my knees, you're in the way.
Yeah.
I'd really like to kneel. Yeah. I'd really like to knee that turnbuckle, but your body is right in the way of it.
Quite annoying where you're sat.
Whereas Andrade is more like, my knob's now in your face.
Yeah. I mean, she probably weighs a little bit less than Andrade.
Well, so, perhaps, you know, yeah. Yeah, buck and a half. So it was not a great match, and not really a good showing for Duke and Shafir either. I think.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit weird overall. It didn't feel like, you know, I feel like Io Shirai's introduction to the NXT home crowd beyond doing, obviously, because I guess Mae Young Classic was filmed there, so
yep.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So she's been shown to them before, but like I feel like for that her first singles match, it should be a singles match, and that's it. I think you want to bring her in. Go, here is Io Shirai. She's going to be a really big deal on this roster. I know putting her with Dakota Kai makes it seem like she's at least going to be like a favourite and a fan. But yeah, it felt weird here to have her just come in for 30 seconds, do all of her moves in a normal NXT squash match style.
Yes.
But against people who were being set up as like the big thing.
That was it. And it was weird because like when they announced that it was going to be this tag match, I did think to myself, I don't read the spoilers or anything like that. And I was like, well, I mean, sure, you'd want to give Duke and Shafir a win in their first match. Mm. But, God, it seems weird that they would beat Io Shirai in her first match in NXT. And Dakota Kai's on a bit of a roll at the moment. So it seems weird for them to lose as well. So I guess I was surprised that they lost their first, their in-ring debut in NXT.
I just would have thought that cheating would have happened. And it would have been, and at least Dakota Kai has been bullied before, so she could have taken the pinfall here. It probably wouldn't have damaged her that much. It only makes her more of the underdog that she's playing.
Exactly, yeah. And I get that you want to use Duke and Shafir as like you have to beat them before you get to the final boss of Shayna Baszler. And I'm fine with that. I think that's a really good story to tell. But I also think you want to give Duke and Shafir some credibility.
Yes.
In terms of being lackeys to Baszler.
Yeah,
so they're not just
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, otherwise then there was Bebop and Rocksteady. Or Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury.
Oh, yeah.
J&J Security. Like, you want them to feel like credible threats, not Briscoe Patterson.
The Singh brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a whole host of lackeys for people. So, yeah, not a hot opening to this show. We then got a video package for... So, it turns out we've been saying his name wrong.
Dijakovic.
Yeah, it's Dijakovic.
Yeah, Dijakovic.
Dijakovic.
Diet Djokovic.
can I have a Djokovic? You got a diet one.
Yeah,
I'd prefer a diet one.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we got a video package for I said it wrong again.
Dijakovic.
Donovan Dijak. It's so simple. Yeah. It's right there. Now we're sitting here for 5 minutes going, sound like an absolute idiot because I don't know what I'm saying. So we've got a video package for him. Then we got a recap of Matt Riddle beating Punishment Martinez 2 weeks ago and Cassius Ohno knocking him out with the elbow on the apron. And then Riddle's doing a press thing earlier in the day. I do like these press things that they do backstage, although you can often see that the lads who are holding out the phones aren't recording anything because they're unlocked. They're locked.
Yeah.
Just, it's a simple thing, guys. Voice memo, just put it in.
Hold it upside down or delete it or, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
There's so many options here.
Just give it some credibility. but I thought Riddle was really cool here, as he always is. And he dared Cassius Ohno to meet him in the ring because he will knock him out in 7 seconds again. I thought it was cool. That was a cool promo.
I did enjoy the bit at the end where he was like, yeah, I got stuff to do now, so I've see you later.
I've got to go.
Yeah, he was on his way to like In-N-Out Burger or something. Like that. I got things to do.
Yeah, I've
got
quite
hungry.
Got a man to see. Wink, wink. Then we got the in-ring debut of Dominik Dijakovic. Dijakovic.
Dijakovic.
Dijakovic. Thank you. I've even written it out like phonetically, and I'm still getting it wrong.
Dominik Dijonais.
Yeah, it's good. Double D against Aaron Mackie. Jobber to the stars
we've
this week.
We've seen him before, haven't we?
Have we?
Yeah, I feel like we've seen Aaron Mackie before.
I don't remember him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aaron Mackie. Anyway, Donovan Dijak beat him up a lot. He did some really cool like toss suplex things where you sort of lift him up and just go like, off you go.
Time to fly!
Yeah, I mean, we sort of said that Jessamyn Duke was a shouty, like screaming wrestler. He's very talkative. Yeah.
But he's also got, I like the fact he's worked out hand actions as well. It's like,
feast your eyes. Very talky.
Knees and toes.
Such a talkative man is Dijakovic. Whatever his name is. Anyway, he does a fallaway slam and feast your eyes. And then hits an awesome, awesome reverse go to sleep for the win.
That's one of the best moves I've seen.
Oh, mate, it's so good. And I tell you what, credit to Mackey for the selling of that job as well, because he came down perfectly, boof, knee right to the face. Mm. Oh, it was brilliant.
That's the way he continued to lift his knee afterwards, as if he's like, I just put that through you.
Yeah.
Like, boom.
So, so cool.
What a cool finisher.
It's going to be even more awesome when he does it to Keith Lee. Mm. Oh, it's going to be so cool when he does it to Keith Lee next year. I guarantee it's going to happen.
No, Keith Lee's... No. he's not going to get a chance.
Oh, he's totally.
None of them will.
Oh, I'm sure they will. NXT, he's fine.
He'll go away for a bit. He'll have a promo package and come back as Keith Leakovich.
Keithus Leakovich. We then got a video package for Heavy Machinery. They'll be in action next. You can tell how last minute this NXT call-up lark they're doing. They're on their way to WWE because no mention of it whatsoever on this episode.
Got a title shot next
week. Yeah, I know, yeah. Absolutely no mention whatsoever that Heavy Machinery and Lacey Evans and Nikki Cross and EC3 are all going up to the main roster. No mention of it whatsoever.
Clearly, we don't know how long it's going to be till they get to the main roster, do we?
No, no, I know we don't. But my point is that like it was clearly a last minute decision. They literally, give me six names. I'll take those six. And then they were like, oh, Christ, now what are we going to do?
Who wrestles for your little yellow one?
The yellow one over there. But I don't want any of your top guys. I don't want people who are in the storylines. Just give me six others.
Yeah, six randos.
Yeah, exactly.
The one with the stakes and the weights.
The brilliant video packages. I want the one that says Tucky a lot.
Tucky. And Tucky as well, I guess. Keep him happy.
Exactly. We announced that Io Shirai is going to be part of that Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match, which is going to take place next week. We're not going to be around to review that episode because it's the holiday season and we're going to be elsewhere. We're not going to be here. I'm not coming in.
I am here.
But
I'm
not
reviewing it. Yeah, I'm here on that day.
You're here on that day?
Mm.
Okay. Well, I'm not, so we won't be doing it.
I'm just doing news, though. So.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not reviewing NXT for you.
No, it's fine. I mean, I can't imagine.
I'll do a one-man ramble.
Hello. NXT was good. Feast your eyes. So the number one contenders lineup is Bianca Belair versus Io Shirai versus Mia Yim versus Lacey Evans, and that will determine the new number one contender to Shayna Baszler.
Lacey Evans ain't winning. she ain't winning.
She might do.
She might do.
That women's right. Women's right.
The women's right.
Women's right. Punch to your face.
I killed you with my fist.
And my fist. It's so hard. It punched you right in your face. I can't do that on Raw, can she?
No.
Hashtag facebreak will be well annoyed. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're going to build towards. Like it'll
the
be
women's
rights versus punch. Like hashtag facebreaker.
No. And then when they collide
the ring explodes.
Like, yeah, it's Dragon Ball.
Oh man, why aren't we in charge of this company? We then got Heavy Machinery versus two dudes whose names I did not write down. Did you? Did
no.
they get names?
I don't think they got named. One of them looked like a much skinnier Mark Andrews with the gear.
So you?
Yeah, he looked like me. And the other one looked 14.
Yeah. Very, very young. I think they said their names on commentary, but I did not pick them up. I was too busy just enjoying Heavy Machinery doing their thing.
The work experience boys got names.
Oh, man, these poor interns.
Yeah.
Yeah, Heavy Machinery did their usual stuff. Tucker Knight's got this really cool spot where he picks you up into a power slam and then just charges you into the corner turnbuckle, just going...
Over and over again.
Very, very good.
Snowplow.
Yeah. It's very cool. And then the Undisputed Era come out onto the ramp and be like, look at us. We're the Undisputed Era.
You guys are smuggity smug.
Smuggity smug, smug, smug. And you guys are idiots. And then Heavy Machinery had the match won with the compactor. But then Otis pulls up one of the dudes to be like, no, 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 Tucky, Tucky, Tucky. We're going to do some more.
Tucky, one more Tucky.
One more Tucky. And they do a double trash compactor. Mm. Otis picks up both of them at the same time.
Which
and
is
they
crazy
do the move.
He's got quite short arms for a man his width.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's an oddly proportioned fellow. Great.
Yeah.
It's so unique and so brilliant.
He's like an albatross had a wingspan. But it was the body that was included in the wingspan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it was just more body than like tiny little wings.
He's
that's what he is.
Just great. I bloody love Otis Davis, which he's so good. Yeah, they hit the double compactor for the win. That looked so awesome. And I liked it as well. Like, you got Adam Cole. Adam Cole sold this brilliant as well because he had this look on his face. It was like, I'm worried, but I'm not going to show you that I'm worried. Mm. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that was scary, guys. Yeah. But let's not show too
Tyler
much
Riley
that we're
did
afraid.
A little bit of that as well. He was just like... And then he was like, yeah, nothing. But I could probably do that.
But Roderick Strong, I think the idiot of the group who just thinks, now that I'm part of this group, I'm unbeatable.
Yeah.
It's just like, ha, 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 guys, we've got this. Got our tag belt. And I'm like, no, man, you're going to get killed next week. So I thought it was a fun little squash match for Heavy Machinery. They are... Street Profits were my favourite tag team in NXT last year that weren't champions. Heavy Machinery are my favourite tag team of NXT in 2018. I hope they get some good stuff on the main roster, but...
They won't.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to be positive. The tag team division seems to be taken seriously, at least on SmackDown this week, so maybe
it's
they
not
can
taking,
go there.
Taking it seriously, just using the other ones.
Is well, that like, no, but I'm taking it seriously in that it wasn't all about rap battles or turkey suits all that, yes, or the nonsense. Yeah. It wasn't pancakes being thrown around everywhere.
I mean, they did feature four different tag teams in one match.
It was crazy, wasn't it? Mad. So a decent episode of NXT. Mm-hmm. Nothing spectacular, with the exception of that main event, which was absolutely awesome.
And was about half the show. Admittedly, want to watch half an hour of amazing wrestling and you are up to date on your Gargano Ciampa goings on, watch that. It's fantastic.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Yeah. If you want to watch like Heavy Machinery have fun squashes, I would certainly watch that one. And the main event you've got to check out, but you could probably skip, unless you really want to see Feast Your Eyes, you could probably skip that and the opening tag.
Yeah, just
match.
Find a gif of his Feast Your Eyes.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Find a gif.
Just get a gif of whatever that's called.
Absolutely.
The go to Sleepkovich.
That is all we have got time for on this edition of the Wrestle Ramble. Thank you so much for watching for the short amount of time we've been doing this thus far. Looking forward to doing it again in the new year. It's all down to your Patreon backing, really. So thank you so much for all getting involved. We'll see you in 2019. We had an email in from Zachary Reynolds that I read out part of earlier in the week, but he was just saying thank you so much for the Wrestle Ramble podcast, but added to this, this leads to my question, as you, brackets, Luke and Laurie, are RPG players and wrestling fans alike, have you ever thought to play or heard of Worldwide Wrestling RPG? It's the same game uses the Powered by the Apocalypse system. I've run it on several occasions with random groups at local game stores with hilarious results. In fact, for the announce team, I use a terrible impersonation of one Ollie Davis as a voice. If you haven't checked the game out, I highly encourage it. There is great fun to be had there. Thank you again, guys. You are my wrestling review podcast of choice. Keep up the great work. The three of you are doing a marvelous job. Greetings from the US, Zach. So we have talked about this on the podcast before because a few people have emailed in asking if we've heard of it. And I've not played it. Neither of us have.
No.
But I've watched a few playthroughs of it on the old YouTube channel. Not our YouTube channel, but on other YouTube channels. Mm. And it does seem like it's quite fun.
Yeah, I think wrestling lends itself well to the sort of RPG.
Yeah.
I mean, wrestling is an RPG, but you just don't roll dice, you just do moves instead, I guess.
Yeah, so it's exactly, not, you know. Yeah. I got a package yesterday from Kickstarter. Well, not from Kickstarter, but from someone who's launched their game on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. It finally arrived yesterday. I shouldn't say finally, actually, because they've been very good at their communication and very good in getting things done on time. But I got the Resident Evil 2 board game delivered through yesterday. So very excited.
Quite
by
timely,
this.
Really, considering the remake's coming out fairly
soon. In January.
Soon, isn't it?
Yeah, so the Resident Evil 2.
January, classic horror game time of the year.
I know, yeah.
Capcom, give no.
Oh, they've got zero Fs to
yeah,
give.
Yeah, zero Fs, mate.
They're too busy putting stickers on their fighters for their in-game advertising.
Oh, my God. Don't,
what an
don't
embarrassment
get
that is, man.
Yeah, that's just I don't understand the point of it is what I don't get about that whole. For those who don't know, in Street Fighter V, Capcom have enabled an option where you can get in-game advertising, but it's both on sort of like the character select screen and the pre-match, like when you get like Ryu versus Ken and they come in, but they'll be like branded Capcom Cup behind them. But then also on their gear, so like Ryu's gi will say Capcom Cup on Balrog's gloves will have it written on there. Yeah. Dulcim's skulls have got it on.
Skull made me laugh so much.
It's baffling though. It's just because like, what if it turns into like Red Bull or like Apple or, you know.
And that's the slippery slope that you're going down, really. The moment they're just promoting their own thing at the expense of their characters and their characters' credibility, because now the characters just look stupid.
Yes, exactly.
Because like, as a lot of people argue, it's like, why is Akuma advertising a Capcom Pro-Am tournament? And like, if that's just your, you know, your first thing you're doing, and then it is Red Bull or it is Motorola or whatever, it's gonna look even dumber when he's got, you know, Ben's Burgers attached on his ski.
But then to make it like that, and then also to have the option, like, they were like, yeah, you can turn it off, it's like, well then why make it?
Well, the option is you can turn it off, but in doing so, you earn less fight points unlock more.
They did say that it was a negligible amount, though. Like, some of the things I've read is that it's not a huge amount that you lose.
But it is still an amount that you lose.
Yes, absolutely. But I think I'd happily lose it to not have the game be really ugly.
It does look very dumb. But yeah, so I've got the Resident Evil 2 board game, I've got the main thing, and I've got two expansion packs with it as well, which goes through all the Birkin stuff. So you get the malformations of him and to add extra boss battles. And I also got the fourth survivor bonus pack, which gives you Hunk and Tofu, so you can do extra missions with them. And I got another expansion pack, which gives you essentially like 12 more characters that are featured within the game, like Ada Wong and Shelley Birkin and things like that.
So how does it play?
So essentially, it is a it is literally survival horror in that you will have like scenarios and you'll have a map and you've just got to get from point A through to point B. But like point A through to point B might be that you need to find the key so you can unlock the door and things like that. And along the way, you encounter zombies and zombie dogs and things like that. But the game is designed, or the board game is designed the same way as the game is, so that there is X amount of ammo available for each of the... So if there are 10 if there are 10 zombies on the screen, they will give you 4 bits of ammo. Right. Because the idea is, like the game, you've got to try and conserve your ammo for when you actually need it, and you've just got to try and dodge people instead. You think about things smartly about... So you can't just go in there and just blow fire
blast
at everyone.
Because,
you know, either you might miss. You've got to try and be smart with the way that you use your weapons and stuff like that. And like the item is very, very sparse in there. You also have a tension deck, so that after each round you reveal the tension deck, it might be everything's fine. It might be a yellow one, which is like things are not so fine. It might be a red one, which is like everything's terrible. And, you know, more creatures then get put onto the board and things like that.
And how many players is it for?
1 to 4.
Ooh.
So I'm going to if I get time before Christmas, I might give it a 1-player experience and see what it's like to play on me lonesome.
Then
when I go out for Christmas,
I'm pitching it and it's the saddest thing. It's like,
I'll be listening to the soundtrack while I do it.
I'll
listen
my
to
my little heart is breaking.
I'll listen to both the in-game one and the orchestral one that I also also own. But when I go up to my parents for Christmas, me and my brother are going to give it a couple of playthroughs as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I've got all the expansion packs and I've got more, because I'm a Kickstarter backer, I've got the alternate sculpts of some characters and alternate sculpts of zombies and stuff. So this giant box was just sat outside my door
yesterday.
Pretty
intense.
I was so excited because this giant box was set outside my door yesterday and I was like, I don't know what this is, because everything I've ordered for Christmas has already arrived or it's going up to my parents' house. So I don't know what this is. Open it up and it was just the joy on my face. I was like, oh, brilliant. It's the Resident Evil 2 board game. And then my wife came home, saw it, was like, where's it all going?
Yeah, where will that live?
And I was like, oh, it's a very good point, because the boxes are very big.
I wasn't expecting it to be this big.
She's like, why are you still backing things with Kickstarter? I was like, I backed it last year.
Yeah.
We had this discussion about it last year. It's just now it's arrived. It makes it seem new. Yeah, but really, it's old news.
Yeah, I've done all the work. I've backed everything that's in development hell in the hopes that it comes through in the future as a surprise.
Absolutely. But I was very impressed with Steamforge Games, the people behind it. So very, very well done to them. They did a lot better than... Did you hear about the Terminator board game debacle?
No.
So there was a company that did the Terminator board game and the Evil Dead 2 board game on Kickstarter. And I'd backed both of them because big fan of Terminator, big fan of Evil Dead. So I was like, oh man, I've got to do this. And I watched like the video playthroughs that they had. And I was like,
you can see
like
why your
fun.
Wife is like, why are you still backing things on Kickstarter?
Oh yeah, correct.
No, but I'm a big fan of this. Luke, you're a big fan of everything.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem. Yeah, that's why I've got both Ghostbusters ones, even though they're actually rubbish.
They
games.
Just say words from the 80s and you're like, sign me up, sir.
I'll have two, thanks. So I backed both of those. And then like they were meant to have shipped November last year. That was their they sent across a guideline like the week before that says like end of November we're shipping the Terminator and the Evil Dead games, you'll have them by December and January. And then the day that they were meant to ship, we got an email from everyone saying like, there's a problem, we're not shipping them. And everyone was like, and there wasn't really explained what the problem was. Turns out they'd essentially just been lying. They had done nothing. They were no further in the development process than where they had started. They had run out of all the money. They'd spent all the money that they had from the games and could now no longer fulfill the orders.
Ooh.
And then had the gall to email people being like, we found a solution. If you invest in our company, we'll be able to get the funds back and finish the game. It was like, oh, so you just want more money from us. It's like, I've already given you $100 for the games.
Yeah.
But you spent all that on like what you've set up boxes, but I don't think you have.
What development were they doing beyond, like...
Well, they said, like, they had proofs of stuff that they'd built. And, like, yeah. they said that they had to get the Ash minifig signed off by Bruce Campbell because he owns the likeness of Ash, mm-hmm. which is fair enough. Apparently that was a long process. But they, like, they sent back, like, the box that they had designed, which looked rubbish because it didn't, like, the print was... actually ran the box properly. They sent across the rule book, which had loads of spelling errors in it and rules that didn't make sense. And then that was when the alarm bell started ringing. Everyone going like, oh, I'm a bit concerned about where this is going. And yeah, the whole thing just fell apart and we've not heard from them for a year now.
They've just said Evil Dead, haven't they? That's all they did.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just a case of with Kickstarter, you back at your own risk.
Sad times.
It is a sad time. But, you know, these are the risks.
Don't
that
be
you
a
take.
Board game bugger.
Exactly, yeah. If you are going to back things on Kickstarter, like, make sure you know who the people are in charge and they're doing it right. Because I wish I'd backed the Street Fighter one that came out this year, because that looked awesome.
And then you could get the expansion that lets you put the Capcom Cup things on the characters.
Oh, if only. Yeah, pretty much. I was going to pay an extra $50 for that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
are you expecting any board game nonsense over Christmas? Are you getting anything for Christmas?
No, but my brother has been texting me this morning saying I'm bringing Smash Up to Christmas and a few other things. I'm not really expected to get any board games for Christmas. I'm not really asked for anything. I'd like to give Keyforge a go, as we discussed the other week. I'd like to give that a shot, but realistically, my intention for Christmas is to play games on my Switch that I've not played yet, because I haven't had time. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's really my dream.
I'm looking to get Betrayal Legacy, because I really like Betrayal at House on the Hill, so the Legacy version of that should be awesome.
Yeah, I've played Betrayal at House on the Hill, I think. Is that the one where there's the big book, and then there's a turn, and then something happens?
Yes,
crazy.
It's the one you played on my stag do.
Yeah.
So
that's a good game.
Yeah, the Legacy version of it apparently is really, really great, so looking forward to that if I do get hold of it. And Keyforge, Shut Up and Sit Down, I've got a really good review of it up on their YouTube channel if you want to check that out. I highly recommend it. But that is all we've got time for on this show. Thank you so much for listening to us ramble nonsense for 2018. We're going to see you again in 2019. This is your last intro and outro of 2018.
Whoa.
Because all of the other rambles you're going to be getting will be minisodes. So we'll be on them. It's just we won't have any of your email correspondence. But thank you so much for all of your correspondence you've sent over the over this year. We'll get back to them again in the new year. But for now, let's have a joke. This one was sent in from Daniel Bellinger. He says, "Hi, Luke. Feel free to use as many of these as you want. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?"
I don't know.
One's really heavy and one's a little lighter. Lighter.
Waha.
What do you call a Mexican who has lost his car?
Don't know.
Carlos. Good stuff. Why did the Scarecrow win an award?
I don't know. Why did the Scarecrow win an award?
Because he was outstanding in his field. Oh, the old ones are the best, man.
These are all good. I'm writing them all down and I'll slip them into people's crackers this year at Christmas.
How many Vince McMahons does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know.
None. Light bulb screwed light bulb. I think it's quite good, actually. Accidentally ran over a kid wearing a John Cena t-shirt. In my defense, I couldn't see him. Good stuff, mate. Thank you very much for your jokes that you have sent in. We'll have some more jokes. Oh, no, this is a great one. This comes in from Shivam Sharma. He sent this to me yesterday, which I've got to read out. How did Rusev become so fluent in his second language?
I don't know.
His partner could aid in English. Lovely stuff.
Apparently, that's a well-worked pun.
Apparently, that comes from a Twitter account called WWE Dad Jokes, which I am now going to find and I am going to follow, because if that's their content, then I am all for it. Oh, that doesn't exist, apparently. Twitter. No, that's Twitter. That's the wrong Twitter I'm trying to get to. This is great radio. So glad that the bed music is underneath this, because otherwise you'd just hear me going... Well, I can't find WWE Dad Jokes. There's a hashtag for it, so it's not a Twitter account, but we'll see what we can find. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We will see you in 2019. It's the future, but we'll also see you next week and everything like that. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.